They're distorting truth to such a massive degree where nothing is everything and everything is nothing now. So words don't have meaning anymore. I could tell you this, you know, the sky's pink and it's my truth. Well, how dare you say that that's wrong because that's my truth. But it's not the truth. Look at us as human beings. Like, we're made so perfectly. You know, you've got eyes to see, you've got mouth to eat to sustain yourself, you've got a heart that beats constantly to keep you alive. Like, it's too perfect to come from nowhere. The devil's very tricky. The devil wants you to believe that he doesn't exist and God doesn't exist. So the whole master plan of the devil is to corrupt humanity. And what, you know, hell is described in as in the Bible is a place without God. You're giving children the right to cut off their own genitals at your own discretion without telling their parents. It's nuts.
Building a life with someone is the most rewarding experience ever. And take that from someone that's made millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's the most rewarding.
You have to humble yourself to God at all times. Because even in your good moments, you need to understand that it's all come from somewhere. And us, by our own works, we're not good enough to actually achieve these things ourselves. Of course, we have talents. Of course, we have certain things that are good in our life. But where do the talents come from? Why were you built for a skill for, you know, in your case, business, or me for, you know, make videos or whatever it is? Because it came from somewhere. Okay, you can blame genetics and everything, but like, it's too meticulously crafted for you to not have a source of creation somewhere.
All right, guys, big news, exciting news. This is actually episode 100 of the podcast. Big shout out and big thank you to everyone that's listened and supported the podcast over the years. The messages I get is honestly why I keep doing this. I've been barely working, as some of you know, if you follow me on Instagram. I've been quite sick with some stomach issues over the last month, but the one thing I haven't wanted to skip is this podcast because of you guys. So thank you so much for the episode 100. We have Jamie Zhu. It's one of our most listened to episodes. We've had him before, most listened to episode on YouTube and audio. So you guys know it's going to be a great conversation. We go really deep on some really big life-changing topics. So I'll leave the intro there. Do me a favor, if you're watching on YouTube, like this video and subscribe. It's episode 100. Definitely hundreds more to come, but let's get into it. Thank you again. I'm missing like the experience of like going out to a nice restaurant, getting like a mad steak or seafood. It's like, for what? Like, why am I, like, if I just had a bit of meat here and there, it's not going to affect me in a negative way.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm going to do my 5 years. So I know I did 5 years straight and then like, I'll see if I reconsider or what.
Because bro, on your digestion, because hiatal hernia is digestion related, is it?
Well, what I was going to say, I didn't make my point. Yeah. The foods that I was eating, because I could barely eat anything. It was the foods that were, when in the peak 2 weeks were fuck pain, I couldn't eat anything. Eggs, cheese, yogurt. It was like mainly all animal products.
There you go.
That was the easiest on my stomach.
Do you know what happened to me recently? Because I have had, literally since I got possessed actually, I've had, do you know what atrial fibrillation is?
No.
It's where your heart, it's a condition that only like old people get.
Yeah.
It's where like your heart.
I heard you talking about that today actually. That was in the video I watched. Yeah. Exactly. So that's still with you?
Yeah. So that was with me still, right?
What is it?
It's when your heart is always like, not always, but like it depends on the severity. But for me, I used to get like a couple times a week, just episodes of hours long of my heart.
Heart
just
racing?
Skipping and just like, not racing, just like offbeat completely. Yep. And it makes you dizzy and all this stuff.
Really?
I had to be on drugs for a while, then got off them. But anyways, so I had that. And
you
then
should
I
wear
also,
like a Whoop or like a...
I do.
Okay,
I have one of them at home. But then I also got really, from the possession again.
Yeah.
The day of, I remember this happened, I started getting really bad acid reflux where I'd have this knot in my upper stomach here.
Yeah,
it's that. Went away. And then what I did was I did carnivore recently for 6 weeks only. I go, I've just heard so many good things about it.
Yeah.
You know what happened, bro? Both the atrial fibrillation and the acid reflux gone. Like, how do you explain that?
Wow.
6 weeks, my body just reset itself. I did not feel good on carnivore, by the way.
Yeah.
I just literally just ate steak and butter and yogurt and cheese and that sort of thing, eggs.
Yeah.
6 weeks, wanting to do it for 3 months just as a trial, but I couldn't handle it. But within 2 weeks, they're all gone, bro.
Wow. So what do you eat now?
So now I'm gradually getting back onto like, I've always had very healthy diet, bro.
Like just a bit more balanced, do you mean now?
Some fruit, some oats, you know.
Yeah.
I still eat organic food.
Yeah.
Vegetables, back on vegetables now.
Yeah.
That made a massive difference.
Yeah.
Just everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. But bro, the carnivore, it resets you. I'm telling you.
I'll tell you, are we recording you, by the way? Okay, yeah, sweet. Anyway, we'll do an intro at the start, at the end. You know why, bro, that would have happened? Because, and this is like why I had to go on the elimination diet when I've obviously been dealing with my stomach issues, the hiatus hernia and whatnot. The reason I think as well that it's like why you had such good results from going on the carnivore diet and it fixed all your issues is because all the fucking shit that's in and all the chemicals and how processed all the other foods are, it is destroying us, man.
You're so
and
right.
Like, talk about getting conspiratorial and whatnot. Like, I don't think it's by accident either.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, eat organic. Like, if I would eat organic everything if I could.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it.
100%. It's like an extra $2, bro, $5, whatever.
Yeah.
What's that, you know, for your health long term?
So what did it fix again? It
was basically carnivore diet for 6 weeks fixed my atrial fibrillation. Mm-hmm. I haven't had one episode since.
Wow.
When I used to get them 3 times a week at least for an hour, 2 hours long. And it also, I'd say, fixed 90 to 95% of my acid reflux. Gone.
Wow.
I felt horrible on the diet for 6 weeks. Like I wanted to kill everyone.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, now I'm on a more balanced diet, getting back into it slowly. Bro, like I feel amazing.
And have your, like, has any of that stuff came back?
It's a nice
like
hook your for
reflux?
You.
Yeah. Has any of the, like, the reflux or any of those, like, heart palpitation, all that stuff come back?
I felt like one or two, like, quick murmurs yesterday, but, like, nothing, bro. Like, I'm talking before, my heart would be, like, not just beating fast out of my chest, but, like, picture this, ready? Like, a normal heart. But mine would be, like,
so like that. Completely off.
Yeah. But now it's, like, just normal.
So how long ago was that now? We had you on the podcast. We've like, we'll talk a little bit about it, but we've done the whole, you know, demonic possession experience. You went, that was like a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that.
Yep.
How long ago was like, did you actually go through that stuff though?
The demon possession?
The demon possession.
I went through the demon possession about 3 years ago now.
3 years ago. And you were still dealing with like the physical effects that happened from.
Yes, 3 years after, bro. And I'm telling you, all these things started, a lot of these things started straight after this one Reiki session I had that ruined my whole life.
Dude, you know what? Like, we're going to talk about all this as well. Dude, anytime I'm like, and this is an interesting conversation that I want to talk to you about as well, like your deliverance and like finding God and everything. And I want to talk to you about that as like, I was raised like, because you were full atheist your whole life, right?
Hated God, hated Jesus.
Yeah, nothing, not interested in it, not open to it in any way, right?
No.
For me, I was like raised Catholic. Like my nan was a scripture teacher. Like my parents weren't super religious or anything, but like I was raised with it. So I used to like, I remember every night until I was like, probably would have been like 14 years old, I used to pray before I went to bed and all of that. And then like, you know, you go through, you change, you have experiences and like, I've gone through phases where I would say like completely atheist and then agnostic or whatever it is probably a better description for me. And now it's like as I get older, my values change. I go through experiences like my relationship to God and like I believe in a God and good and evil. It might not be like in like the structured way that maybe someone that has been going to church their whole life believes in it, but I believe in something to that effect. But any time now, I'm telling you, bro, since you told me that story and I've don't like thinking about shit like that, like demons and because I believe it and like I'm too powerful of a magnet. I don't want to draw this shit in. Anytime I walk past the Reiki healing place, bro, me and Mel just look at each other. My skin crawls. I'm telling you, I get goosebumps.
You're welcome.
I just feel like, bro, that is the most fucked up shit ever, man.
Yeah,
it is. And that's, it's interesting. But I will talk about it now. I was going to talk about some other stuff first.
Sure.
But like, remember, I'm not saying this in a preacher way. I would still say I'm not religious in any way. I'm spiritual, but not in spiritual as in New Age.
New Age,
I believe.
That's interesting.
I believe there's something. I believe there's the world is too weird and beautiful and connected and all this, like Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. If you know Satanism is real.
Is real.
From Hollywood, you know that God's real.
Exactly.
Or there's something
right? Yeah, yeah. And so I definitely want to be on the right side of that. And and even though I wouldn't say I'm religious, I would feel anyway. And the reason I feel so comfortable saying that, let's just say I was wrong and God in the traditional sense was real. It's like, I don't think I'm in trouble because I've been living
in
good values anyway, you know what I mean? But it's like, bro, I've been really like with my stomach, that what I've been dealing with the last month. There's two times I was just talking to Yui about this before we started filming as well. He's Christian. In your worst, darkest moments, when it's like, bro, I'm on the floor, like held over the toilet, like vomiting from the pain. And like, I just want it to stop. Bro. You feel sorry. You feel a bit sorry for yourself in those moments, just natural. But I'm like, bro, in those moments when nothing would help it, what comes to my head? It's like when I used to pray and like, God, like help me.
Yeah.
Interesting, always when you're in
your lowest. Always.
Yeah, it's interesting, man.
It's funny how an atheist will be atheist their whole life until they're on the blink of death.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden God becomes real. Imagine you're like flying in a plane, for example. It's about to crash. What do? You're an atheist. Okay, God, if you're real, please. Like, bro, like it always is in your darkest moments. And that's what I guess in faith, you know, what I get taught and what I get, what I learn in church is that like you have to be you have to humble yourself to God at all times. Because even in your good moments, you know, you got that job promotion, you got that pay rise, you got that relationship that's amazing. You need to understand that it's all come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And us by our own works, we're not good enough to actually achieve these things ourselves. Of course we have talents. Of course we have certain things that are good in our life, but where the talents come from?
Yeah.
Like, why were you born with a skill for, say, cooking? why were you built for a skill for, you know, in your case, business, or me for, you know, making videos or whatever it is? It's because it came from somewhere. Mm. Okay, you can blame genetics and everything, but like, it's too meticulously crafted for you to not have a source of creation somewhere.
Exactly. That's my main point of why. See, my definition of it, like, you know, I've gone through periods where I say I believe in the universe, I believe in energy, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure the definition I'm settled on, but I believe in the power and the energy and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I struggle to understand how you could not, you know, because you were that person for so long, right?
Look, bro, like the devil's very tricky. The devil wants you to believe that he doesn't exist and God doesn't exist. So the whole, like, I guess, master plan of the devil is to corrupt humanity. And what, you know, hell is described in as in the Bible is a place without God.
Yeah.
And so when you're in a place without God, then you're essentially living by your own desires and your own wants and your own way of living. And you actually idolize yourself as God. And the problem with that is that us as humans, we have all these, you know, fleeting thoughts and emotions and desires and all these things that we feel like doing. And when you've got no accountability, such as God with his 10 commandments, then you kind of justify any action. And that's why you see in this day and age, there's so much, I guess, liberation and progression and freedom in, oh, I'm able to do what I want. You know, I want to be free. I've got, you know, if I want to be this, I can be that. If I want to identify as a tree, I can. It's my life. It's my truth. But you're forgetting the simple fact that the truth is not subjective. And let's say all the religions are put next to each other, including atheism, whatever it is. Like, one of them has to be true. One of them has to be true. Because if you have all these different ideologies of creation, where it's, you know, from Jesus Christ being the only way into heaven, or if it's like nothing happens, then one of them has to be true. So which is it? And the way I see it is this. For me as a Christian now, I want to know exactly where I'm going when I die. Because I could die leaving this podcast. I could die on the way home. I could die tomorrow in my sleep. Whatever it is, bro. It's like, it's a free ticket. And that's what Jesus says in the Bible. It's a free ticket to heaven where you know where you're going. Mm. And it's not based on your own works. It's based on you having faith in him as the Son of God and his resurrection. So it's like, you're right, bro. It's like when you get to the nitty gritty of it, it's like, hold on a second. If I was to die right now, where am I going? It's scary.
Yeah, bro. And it's like, if you talk about like, what are the different theories and like, there's a lot of different religions, which one's correct. But even like, let's look at the science where it's like, you know, there's evidence that points to evolution being correct and the Big Bang theory. But the thing that I have never been able to wrap my head around, it's like, and no one can ever explain this and you won't be able to explain it either. It's like, okay, what's the Big Bang theory? It's like, oh, well, it's simple, Dylan. All the energy in the universe was in one place and then it, you know, exploded, expanded. But but how did all that energy get there?
Yeah.
Like what was before the Big Bang? What is this?
There has to be a source.
There has to be a source.
It's like when you see a building, bro, it's like there must have been a builder, right? It didn't just come out of nowhere. And I think as well, like, look at us as human beings. Like, we're made so perfectly. You know, you've got eyes to see, you've got mouth to eat to sustain yourself, you've got a heart that beats constantly to keep you alive. Like, it's too perfect to come from nowhere. You've got to question that. You've got to be like, wait a second. When I actually, like, deflate my pride, be humble and know and even question whether I know everything or not, because maybe I don't, then, like, that starts the research. And I guarantee, like, I think you do need to research things. You know, I would highly suggest people to like research other religions and everything. And then you can see sort of like what makes sense, because we are logical creatures at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And for me, obviously my personal experience with being possessed and having, you know, deliverance and exorcisms where I would say names in the Bible that I didn't even know about before and other things that happened, I'm like, oh, okay, I think Jesus is the one.
Yeah. And see, it's like, and that's why if you ever experience something firsthand for yourself, like there's like you speak with it, there's 100%. Like I ever had a moment like that, so I can't speak of it myself. But as I said, I was doing a little bit of research just on you again. Obviously, we know each other and we spoke before. Yep. But you were talking about that first time you walked into church,
bro. That changed my entire life.
Talk to me about that day, because I have a story about another friend who said something similar. And I'll share that after.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. So basically, long story short, I got possessed in 2021. I then went a whole year not knowing what was going on with me. I had physical problems, mental, emotional, spiritual, you name it. It was all happening. And then, no one knew what to do really. Like everyone was like, oh, you know, like we don't know what's wrong with you. It's probably in your head, probably placebo, which completely was false because I was getting physical attacks every second of the day. And it was just this one pivotal point where I actually got invited to church by a friend. And the moment I walked into church, bro, I felt this presence like enter my soul. That was the most loving, peaceful, and just warm presence I've ever felt in my entire life. And I started almost like, I don't people hear God in different ways, and some say audible, but some don't. Some say it's more like a conviction in your heart, whatever it was. But I felt something communicate with me saying, this is exactly where you belong and this is where you're going to get healed. And bro, the whole sermon, I was just bawling my eyes out. I was crying, crying, crying. It was almost like I was going through like a spiritual detox. And then from that point onwards, bro, like I was like, you know what? Like this, I think this is it. And I had to obviously prove to myself that it was a truth. So I did research, I did study. I had to get deliverance, which was exorcism. And dude, stuff that was coming out of me, like that was talking out of me, saying different names of different demons in the Bible that I had no idea about prior. I'm like, okay, there's something about this that must be true. So I kept further researching, and then, yeah, man, just slowly got better over time.
Just a quick one from me. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'd know that after scaling Happy Skin Co. to over $10 million per year, I spent close to 18 months creating the Viral Brand Builder program, which teaches someone with zero experience how to launch and scale their very own e-commerce brand. With over 100 training videos and direct access to me, including one-on-one calls, you'll be guided throughout the entire process. Now, we already have a bunch of incredible results from students that are making multiple 5 and 6 figures per month. So if you want to learn how to build a business that has the potential to completely change your life, then click the link in the description and book in an application call today. Spots are limited as you'll be speaking directly to me. So hopefully I'll chat to some of you soon. But until then, let's get back to the podcast. It's so crazy, man, hearing that story and like paint the picture up of like, in like summarize it, because we've spoken about this in more detail and you have many times, but that like 12 months, it wasn't just like, oh, you're a bit down.
No,
suicidal thoughts, fucked up thoughts that you felt like this isn't you.
No, not
right? Physical pain. How many different doctors or hospitals do you reckon you went to and they told you there's nothing wrong with you?
Yeah, so I went to 9. I was admitted to hospital 9 times and no one could find nothing apart from that heart condition I developed miraculously somehow. And then I probably went to at least 4 to 5 counselors. I went to psychologists. I then continued my...
What were they saying? Like psychologists, what was their opinion on this?
They just go like, whatever you're feeling and thinking, like it's all in your head. Like it's OCD. And they go, you should get on medication. They prescribed me like serotonin enhancers and all these different drugs. And they just basically said to me like, look, you know, we don't know why you're going through this, but like whatever the voices are saying to you isn't true, but it's probably all in your head. It's probably mental health related. And I go, yeah, but this, that, like this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like,
and this is before you were even thinking about like God and religion, right? This is just you going through the process.
No, I didn't believe in God or Jesus or nothing at this point. And I probably still had that sort of like hatred towards, you know, God as well.
Why do you think that was? Why do you think you had like a barrier up between you and that before? Prior.
Look, do you want the spiritual answer or like the practical answer?
Like, give me both, whatever you say. What's your truth?
Yeah. So practically speaking, a lot of us don't want to acknowledge the presence of God being a real thing, a real force, because we're so trapped in our own ways and we want to live life how we want. And what that means is there's no accountability. Of course, you have the law, but nothing supersedes the law. Like you won't find any, you know, in history, you won't find a group of people that stand above the law if there's nothing above what they stand for, such as faith. So when you believe in something so much higher than this physical existence, you're going to do whatever it takes to adhere to that law or that God, whatever you're serving, and that belief system. So one, I think, practical component of why I never wanted to believe in God or why I thought believing in God was just dumb, firstly was because of I was trapped in my own sin. So I was trapped in, you know, the hookup culture, the partying, the drugs, you name it, the fame, the social media lifestyle, just having whatever I wanted at my fingertips.
And that's like every like young guy, late teens, early 20s. That's like the dream, right?
You know,
attention, money, travel, women, partying.
I had it all, bro. I'm telling you.
And like that's the thing a lot of guys, you know, grow up just fucking craving, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But you experienced that firsthand for a number of years.
Yes.
And how was your mental health like during that phase?
Dude, it's a complete like counterfeit way of thinking you're happy. Because it's like, all right, I've got all these pleasures that I can just quickly go to and run to and feel good for a split second, but then I'm just left empty. I always had this like God-shaped hole in my heart that was never filled, and I tried to obviously fill it through, you know, sleeping around and partying and drinking and the fame and the money and all these sorts of things, and even new age spirituality like crystals and Reiki and all these things. But it sort of like felt good for a fleeting moment, and then it just brought me back to square one where I was like, okay, I'm still depressed, OCD, you know, just I felt horrible. And the spiritual side of my answer is because there is something that's very real called an antichrist spirit. And so what Satan's whole job is to do is to basically, as I said before, like make you think he doesn't exist and make you think God doesn't exist. So then you essentially, you're either on one side or the other. Like there's no one foot in, one foot out. It has to be both. And so when you don't believe in God and when you're, I guess, under, you know, the ways of the world, which is, I guess, the devil inherently, then there's something called the antichrist spirit that is within you, that whenever you hear the word, especially not just God, bro, but Jesus Christ is the most hated word, like intrinsically, that I could ever imagine hearing. And I didn't know why. Like, why do I hate the word Jesus? Like, it's like a word. Like, why? And it's because there's so much power to the name. And when you understand that the devil is trying to deceive you and keep you away from Jesus Christ, then you're like, okay, that makes sense now. Because whatever's inside you gets angry, literally, like in a demonic way. So those are the reasons I believe why I just hated Jesus and I hated God.
What's crazy as well, like, and again, remember, with it, no one's telling anyone how to believe. I'm definitely not a Christian even myself, but I went to, me and Mel, we did Europe, but we randomly flew via LA, weird route. So we did, like, we were in LA for like a week. This is last year, so about, in August, September time. Bro, there is clearly, like, programming and, like, bro, every billboard, every's an exaggeration. So 80% of the movie billboards last year when I was there, it's all possessions, it's all demon shit. It's constantly, it's everywhere you look in your face, bro. And you watch these movies and, like, you know, what's the movie Barack Obama just produced, like The End of the World or something like that?
Oh, Leave the World Behind.
Or Leave the World Behind. There's so much, like, clear. Like,
I promoted that movie as well.
Oh, yeah?
Before even knowing what it was about.
Yeah, it's real crazy, like, weird shit going on. It's like, I don't understand all of this. It's so deep. And we mentioned briefly before, like, well, the Diddy stuff or the Epstein.
Yeah,
like, there's,
yeah.
like, what's that Bohemian Grove? Like, you...
Bro, you, like, it's so real,
it's
man.
So much it's weird so fucking shit in the world. And it's like... Yeah, bro. It's just like there's so many things influencing people down a dark hole.
Yeah.
I feel, and remember, I'm not approaching this in like a religious way, but if you just look at the way the world has gone over the last 5-10 years, do you think we're in a better place in terms of humanity or a worse place? Bro.
Much worse, much worse. Like what? You're giving children the right to cut off their own genitals at your own discretion without telling their parents it's
fucking crazy. And you know like, what I mean? Like giving it their teacher. Power to overrule their parents.
It's nuts.
Dude, that is not right in any way.
Even like any, you know, say atheist person in their right mind would know that there's something wrong with that movement. And there's something wrong with, you know, letting your kid have the autonomy and the ability to literally go behind their parents' backs and say, hey, I want to, you know, transition my gender to something else. When I was a kid, I thought I was a panda one day. I thought I was a bat the other day. Like you don't know as a kid and you need people to, like your parents – and the education system, you know, you need them to step in and say, hey, listen, like, these are just thoughts. It doesn't mean, like, it's reality. But I think what's happening now is, like, they're distorting truth to such a massive degree where nothing is everything and everything is nothing now. So words don't have meaning anymore. Mm-hmm. I could tell you this, you know, the sky's pink and it's my truth. Well, how dare you say that that's wrong because that's my truth. But it's not the truth.
Yeah.
Like, the truth, as I always say, is not subjective. Like, it's objective. And it's just gotten to a point where like now it's like nothing means anything. You see like, you know, everyone on TikTok, like everyone's getting famous now as well. Everyone, like there's this whole like capitalism debate where like they want everyone to be like, what's that term? The Marxism, you know, they want everyone to sort of like, I guess, have this equality, which doesn't mean anything. Like there's no end goal. There's just nothing in humanity left.
And that anymore. never works anyway. Like there's That's enough right. examples to point to that. But yeah, it's there's a famous actress. You guys might have seen it. It was in the news like over the last week. I forget. You could probably look it up and find the name of them. It's like there's this famous actress. She's got like 4 sons and they're all trans.
Oh wow. See, it's conditioning as well.
It's conditioning. It's like conditioning. Whether like I'm not saying trans isn't a real thing or whatnot, right? But like clearly a lot of it, at least a high percentage of it, is programming. It's like kid like tricking themselves into it, right? I'm not saying it doesn't exist, who knows, right? Back when there was like one trans for like however many, they're probably fucking speaking their version of their truth. But we're now in the last like 10, 15 years, the increase is like crazy. Yep. It's clearly not something that people are born with. It's getting put into people's heads. So it's just like, it's just a dangerous world, man. If you don't have like values and it's like, I live my life in alignment with like, if I did believe in God, like, cause I just, for whatever reason, if it was the way I was raised or just the way I am, it's like, I can't do bad things and go hurt people. I'm not saying I'm perfect because I would just feel like I feel guilty. I'd feel disgusted at myself. You have to have that.
And just back on that, like the transgender issue, I think that like I fully empathize with people that, you know, have identity issues and they're not sure who they are and like why am I thinking this and why do I feel like I'm born in like the wrong body. But I think that there's such a movement and I don't think it's like everyone in that movement that agrees with what's happening. But
no way, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like I know a few people that like are in that sort of, you know, space and they go, it's just gotten too far. But what I'm saying is that there's this whole like ideology of like, oh, it's not loving if you don't accept me for who I am. But don't you, and what they're trying to, I guess, get people to accept or get themselves to accept is that they're in the wrong body or they deserve to transition. However, don't you think it's a much more loving thing to say to someone, hey, listen, like you're made, you know, in God's image, you're made perfectly as you are. Maybe like you're not born in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. Maybe how you've turned out is actually a good thing. Don't you think that's much more loving? Than telling someone that they actually are in the wrong body and affirming that? Don't you think that's a much more loving thing to do by saying, hey, how you are is how God made you and that's a beautiful thing? Like, I don't see the rationale.
With like, that'll trigger some people here and like you're made the way God makes you. But like, let's break it down in this way for people that like aren't, you know, in any way religious, right? Because let's just say, you know, you said to me before, like, you know, why don't you love and accept me for the way I am? If you're a loser, you're not going anywhere with your life, you're on Centrelink, you go to the pub and the pokies and you waste your money and then you wonder why people keep leaving you. Oh, love me the way I am. No, like you can better yourself.
You can better yourself.
And it's not like saying if you have identity issues, you're not better, but it's like,
of course,
I think we just got to approach it in a different way because if I just look at the way that the world is going and a lot of the way I've changed the world clearly shifted over the past 5 years in that big event that we all know, right?
Yeah.
And you spoke about
what's
people.
What's it called again?
talk about people like not fully going all in it, but people are so scared to speak out in it. But now we look at that big event that happened and so many people that were loud and advocating and pushing for, you got to do this, you have to do this, or you're a bad person, this. People that were all in on that camp, even though it's taken 5 years, it's like, even now they're speaking out at it. And like, these are the people that were like flying the flag for it in the early days. It's like, if that's a clear example that was so clearly shoved down your throat and no one thought they were wrong until very clearly it was all, or if not all, a lot of it was bullshit and fabricated, manufactured.
Yeah.
Don't you think there's a possibility that some of these other things that people are telling you is deception? And
you never got the, you know what, did you? Neither did I.
No way.
Lucky we run our own businesses.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like I had the, you know, and I remember I was actually having this conversation as well beforehand. Like I've been going to the doctors too much lately and shit with my fucking stomach and whatnot. But I remember I grew up in the suburbs, southwest Sydney, and it's like the doctor I go to now is in Rose Bay. Very different. Like we have 20, 30 minute discussions, really understands me, my lifestyle, diagnoses me and stuff. Back in like Liverpool area, like they just fucking pump you in and out. And I remember I was really considering it. Yeah. I was really considering it back then because I wanted to make an informed decision either way.
Yep.
And I did heaps of research on like the different types that were out there. Mm-hmm. And I went and wanted to go have a conversation with a doctor and about the risks and pros and cons with anything. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to me, he just disregarded everything I said. And he goes, the best, you know what, you can get is the one you can get today. And I'm like, you're just reading that off the brochure, bro. As soon as he said that, I'm like, cuz, just, all right.
Oh, my mum is a massive advocate for people that have died from the, you know what.
Okay, yeah.
So she actually hosts memorial days for them.
Wow.
And she like has a detox protocol that she gives people to sort of detox.
For sure.
It,
bro, Joe would be keen. Like, I know people that would be keen on that stuff. Yeah, like, Joe actually did like detox shit. Like, he
really
regret, like, so many people regretted it. And he's like, bro,
it's funny. You won't find one person that got it that, like, well, sorry, I'll rephrase that. You won't find one person that didn't get it regretting not getting it.
Could you
not
imagine?
One person, bro.
Could you imagine?
Not one person.
I know.
What I mean? So I'm very good. In fact, I've never actually had a of anything in my life. Yep. Zero. Not even from birth.
Yeah.
My mum was always against it. And like, I think I turned out all right.
You turned out all right. Well, it's like, even it's got me rethinking all of that as well. It's like, what, like, and Andrew Schultz was talking about this on, he was talking, I think, Joe Rogan or someone on his podcast real recently. And he goes, it's like, he just had a baby, Andrew Schultz, comedian. And it's like, they come out of the womb, not even half an hour. They're like, all right, come at me with the needles. Like, and he's like, whoa, what is this one for? He's like, hep C. He's like, oh, hep C, how do you get that? Oh, it's a sexually transmitted disease. It's like,
a baby.
I think we got some time up our sleeve.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's nuts, bro. It's nuts.
Yeah, like there's a place, I'm sure, for some things. I'm not saying none of it, but it's just like...
It's crazy.
Yeah, we just adopt all these things blindly. Yeah. And it's like we put trust in these entities. Like, you know what as well, which is the funniest thing? And it's like, come on, be honest to yourself. If you were the ones that were saying all this stuff and trying to belittle people that didn't, it's like, guys, let's just try and pull ourselves out of that situation for a moment. Which industry in the world has the worst records in terms of lawsuits and lying and stuff? That industry.
Big pharma,
and now all of a sudden, and they've got no liability to everything, and they're getting paid trillions of dollars, billions of dollars in profit. 100%.
I believe it was actually a test for what's to come. That's what I think.
Well, I think they fucked up. I think it worked then, but I think too many people now, like if you look at like, I remember the Daily Telegraph, they used to post things on Facebook, the daily stats.
Yeah.
People would look at it and be like, oh my God, this is horrible, blah, blah. Now everyone's like, this is bullshit. Like this is like mums and dads and the old people that come
No, you're right. Stuff. People are definitely waking
people up. People have woke up. If they try this shit again, I think there's going to be, for me personally, at the beginning, first couple months, I was figuring it out. I'm like, I'm going to make my own decision. I'm going to take time. But then it's like, get to the point, it's like, clearly you know what's up. It's like you speak out against this stuff. Yeah. Your life just gets so much harder when you're in business and online particular.
Yeah, it's funny because like I think they have sort of gone a little bit too hard. Although I do believe that the first test was to see how gullible the public were. Mm-hmm. However, I think that they're clever because to the average person doesn't really have like a high intellect where they think of things twice. It's like on paper, what they say, okay, get this, means you're safe, it's medicine, therefore you won't get it. Okay, sure, that makes sense. But if you take one more step further, you're like, wait a second, no, because like it's a 1% death rate, whatever it is.
Less, you know,
it's obviously, there's something fishy going on. Plus they've obviously coupled that in with all this political propaganda with other issues that they've tied it in with. And I think the way they do it is really clever because they give you the illusion that it's for your safety. And the reason why they say safety is paramount is because we're human beings. We have a natural survival instinct. So anything that threatens our survival, we're going to listen to. It's just like when you stop at a red light when you're driving. Why is that? Why is it red? Because the red is the color of blood. Yeah. And we're intrinsically scared of blood because we don't want to shed it. Well, so
even in advertising, like a shop now button or add to cart, you never put that in red because red, like subconsciously, you stop.
Subconsciously, don't go forward, exactly. You know what I mean? And so what they do is they give you all these things. Oh, it's because of safety. And then they go, oh, well, now this is considered misinformation because it's now affecting your safety. And then they go, oh, well, you know what? We're actually also going to ban like promiscuous content on Instagram. So they do like – they ban the promiscuous stuff, which is, you know, I guess good. But then underlying is all these other things that they're masking from that. So they fool the public because, well, wait a second. Like age-restricted this, you know, too much sexual content this. But then you're forgetting what they're also doing. So they give you like the fake illusion of protecting you when they've got a whole different agenda at play. It's just so interesting.
And the thing is about all this stuff, man, it is really interesting to me. But I very much see some people go down this rabbit hole and never come out.
You know what I mean? Course, so it's like... You've got to be sane. You've got to still look at the positives in this world.
100%.
You know? Like I love my life. Like it's great, you know. I know a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to let consume me to the point where like I just hate the world.
Because it's like if you... like, and there's a lot of evidence to a lot of like really fucked up, crazy, bad shit happening in the world. But it's like at the same time, it's like... I say this all the time with people in business and wanting to change their life and everything. It's like people complain about, you know, where they are in life or, you know, the world isn't fair. It's all stacked against me. But it's like you can complain about that, but it's not going to change it. You got to accept facts of what it is and live in the reality.
You can take action.
The unfortunate reality, if you think it's unfortunate that it is, and make the best of that because there's a way that everyone can do that for themselves.
There is a way. So taking action is the most important thing, I think.
100%. Now, like when you went through those change – oh, I wanted to tell you actually about my friend Brenton as well.
Mm.
So he told me he was like really lost in life. He's an actor. He hadn't really got any good auditions for a while. And then like he had some friend that is like, you know, that was going to church. And he told him about it. And then he put the idea in his head. He's like, you know what? Like I'm feeling so lost. And like he was struggling a bit with mental health. And this is all stuff he's spoken about publicly anyway. But he said, you know what? I'm just going to pray and then I'll just see what happens. And he was praying and just, he said, oh, all I want is to be on Home and Away. It's like the classic thing, like an Aussie actor.
Yeah.
I think it's like the next day he woke up, he had an audition for Home and Away. He got it.
No way.
So he did that. There's three examples he gave. And every time he was like, bro, this is crazy. He went to, then he's like, his mate was like, well, come to church with me, you know? Mm-hmm. Brendan's like, oh, he was so sad. He's like, I'm leaving my wallet in the car or this sort of stuff. And he walks in and he said the same thing as you, bro. I walked in and I just felt this like, warmth and love, and like tears just started coming out of my eyes. And he's like, that was like, you know, the, like, I can't remember what he explained, like the love of like Jesus Christ or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, that moment changed his life forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me though, like I don't know, because like I said, I was like raised Catholic. So Catholic is very different to Christian.
It's very different. Yeah.
I went to like pretty much only really go to church for like funerals and stuff. We lost my nan a couple of weeks ago. So we had the funeral. We went and like to have like a bit of like traditional parts of it because she was really religious. And it's like, it just lost me completely. And I don't feel, I didn't feel that when I go to church and like the Catholic church. It's like, I feel like it's so old fashioned. It's so like structured and it's all this stuff. And it's turned me off as well. And I think that's why like religion, so to speak, isn't something that I align with, because freedom is like a massive value of mine. But like the essence of it, and this is what I say to Brenton when we have these conversations, you and I believe, and this is like me and you, you and I believe a lot of the same things. We just may call them slightly different things, but we feel,
of course,
we feel that feeling of something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's interesting because like I've been going to like different churches recently, like just looking around. And I think, while I don't consider myself like a denominational Christian at all, like we're actually called to be, to not be religious as Christians.
Okay.
We're called to just be followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when you go too denominational, it sort of like detracts you away from the Bible and the message of God in the first place. And then you start having these kind of like wars within the faith and everything. So what I noticed though is churches are generally considered a denomination. So you can't really help that. The first churches I went to, or the first church I went to, sorry, was one called Planet Shakers in Melbourne, and that's a Pentecostal. So I think the reason that worked for me was obviously because, you know, the Holy Spirit was definitely in there. I felt the presence. But also because it wasn't like what you're saying as an example of the Catholic Church. It wasn't too off what I'm used to. And these, you can call them mega churches. You can, you know, have as much dirt on them as you want. But I believe they do have a place, because the criticism is, right, these Pentecostal churches, they're bigger ones. So they have, you know, a couple pastors, but they've got like hundreds, if not thousands of people in the audience. And yeah, it can become a bit of like a music festival through worship. And I would say that most of them that I've been to are very motivational.
Yeah.
But that's what I needed at the time, bro. Mm-hmm. If I'd gone to a more traditional, like a Catholic church or like a Baptist church back in the day, I don't think I'd be a Christian. I really don't, because I had to have something tangible and something almost as like a bridge from my worldly life to faith. And the Pentecostal churches facilitated that. However, of course, like in every sort of church or denomination, there's good things and bad things. And after a while of being at the Pentecostal churches, I was like, okay, I need some more substance. I need to learn the Bible more. I don't just want to be told that God is there and God is real and God is good. I want more, like I want to know verses. I want to understand, you know, exactly principles. I want to be convicted of my own sin. Like I want a pastor to just come at me like, hey, you shouldn't be living this way, or you should. And so that's what, so now I've actually gone to sort of the Baptist churches, because they do a bit more theological stuff. But it's so dependent on the church you go to, bro, honestly, because I went to Catholic churches as a in high school as well, and I didn't feel nothing. Not that it should be a feeling. Mm-hmm. It should be something where the word of God sort of reaches your soul and you do have somewhat of a tangible realization that, like say in my case, like I believe it is the truth. But it's largely dependent on the church, truly. So it's interesting you say that.
It's interesting as well, like people find their own way into this and have every, like, I feel like a lot of people have unique relationships with God, whether they would define themselves as religious or not religious. But it's like as well, when we come to like understanding the universe and how weird and wonderful and weirdly connected everything is. And this isn't like, I'm not sure what the church's views are on this. I'm probably against it, but you hear about people having like psychedelic experiences and like fucking having like, feeling like they are connected to God, and I can, you know, because it just dissolves, you know, the way you normally see and all this like programming, all this stuff we've taken on, and it just melts everything back, and like you feel that connection to source, whatever that is, you know what I mean? It's really fucking interesting, man.
Yeah. I used to do mushrooms actually back in the day.
Yeah. Did you have any experiences like that where you felt connected to source, whatever that was back then?
I did it twice. Was it twice? I think I did it twice. I just remember the first time though, and the first time was, I was going through like a pretty bad breakup, and bro, like I know too much about this stuff now that like I sort of know what happened or why things happen, what I believe at least personally. Mm. But yeah, when I did it, it was in 2020, and I basically, it was like I was fully cooked, like high. Like I was like watching myself in the like oven mirror make a kangaroo steak and just laughing hysterically. Like I didn't know why. And then the next hour or so, I just started crying over my ex, And then I ended up doing just like some, I don't know, just random stuff. And then the next day I was crying all day over it again. And yeah, it was an interesting experience. It had some definite power, but the way I see psychedelics now has completely changed.
I'm sure, yeah. So yeah. How do you see it now?
This is my belief, right? I believe that there are certain things such as psychedelics. There are certain things like, you know, New Age spirituality, Reiki, you know, all these things that I believe are actually a counterfeit version of spirituality. I'll tell you why. It's because what I believe is that Satan is real and the devil is the master of deception. So what he's going to do, he's not going to present himself as something ugly or unpleasant. He's going to masquerade himself, as they say in the Bible, as an angel of light. And so what that means is, although something may feel good and connected and there might be some positive effects, it's rooted in deception. So let's say, for example, you know, I was to, you know, back to what happened to me. I had a Reiki healing session and I got possessed from it. Let's say I didn't, right? Let's say I didn't actually get possessed, whatever.
Because you felt extremely different the second you walked out.
Oh, yeah. Right? It was instant. Let's say I didn't get possessed. Let's say it was all good and I felt some nice feelings. Oh, okay. Well, that must have been good for me. Then what would it do? It'd make me explore that path even more. And so I'd find myself doing Reiki. Then I'd find myself, you know, doing psychedelics. Then I'd find myself being a hippie in Byron Bay with no purpose. Then I'd find myself doing drugs 24/7. And then I'd find myself losing my identity. It's just the rabbit hole you go down with New Age is never ending. And so the devil knows this. And so he'll present something that feels good so you get trapped in that lifestyle and continue. What happened when I was doing New Age, you know, for 10 years before I got possessed? What happened? I felt some good things. I used to pay the practitioners good money. Felt some good things. Back to square one. So I did 10 years of New Age, spent thousands of dollars with absolutely nothing besides bad things happening. And plus, the practitioners I even saw, they actually commended the lifestyle I was living. Bro, I used to sleep around like there was no tomorrow. Oh, that's just you being yourself. What do you mean? I could never have a family. I could never sustain a relationship because I kept doing these things and they were condoning it because that's just me. But like it was pure deception. So back to, I guess, your question, what do I think about psychedelics? I think that psychedelics are a portal that opens you up to the demonic, and whatever experiences that you do have, this is my opinion,
yep,
whatever experiences that you have, while may seem pleasant, they're from demons, bro. I'm just being straight out. That's what I believe. Yeah. That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of different opinions on that. Like,
sure.
Some maybe like the more, they're used now like being tested for like mental health things and helping people with that. But some traditional doctors will be like, oh, psychedelics is like it's making you see things that aren't real, et cetera. Yeah. Whereas the other side, and like probably where I would say I would more align myself, is they show you what really is there.
Yeah.
But I haven't, you know, I haven't heard any of these bad, you know, stories and shit like that. So it's like once you have an experience with something, I feel like
of course,
you can have a stronger point of view. But like, yeah.
Definitely. And I just want to preface as well, like I'm not one of these like hardcore, like black and white Christians. Like I've experienced, like I know energy is real. Mm-hmm. I know all this stuff is real. I know Christians that think everything's just not real. And yet demons exist, but it's all in your head. I'm not one of them, bro. I've experienced everything. Like, I know that there are things that are real that a lot of Christians don't believe in. So, like, this coming from someone that's like, I've done the psychedelics. I've done, you know, all the New Age you can ever imagine. Hypnotherapy, you name it. Like, I've done it.
Astral projection. That's done all that, bro. Like, I've been doing Kung Fu for 8 years. And, like, it's ours is very traditional in terms of, like, we have a book with our lineage back to, like, thousands of years back in, like, China and stuff. And it's like, I'm, like I said, like, coming at it from a different perspective, not from religion, like the stuff we learn about the soul and about energy and about chakras and all that, like the energy, like you said, is real. The soul is real. When your physical body dies, like our physical body, flesh, bones, blood, like that dies, the heart stops beating. The soul, and it's something I 100% believe in, the soul is soul doesn't die when the human body dies. What happens?
Yeah.
That's, and there's like some people think that, no, you die and that's it. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Go into a sleep or something. That's what I used to think.
Yeah, you just go into a sleep.
Yeah. It's interesting. When you start researching it, it's very interesting.
So what, like some of the other lifestyle changes we were speaking before, is celibacy.
Yes.
Is that something that you're committed to? Is it something that you feel like has been a benefit for your life? Or?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I've been completely celibate for about 2.5 years. And bro, it's changed my life for the better. Because my whole life was dictated by lust before, you know. Every day I'd wake up
it's the easiest thing to lose yourself in, I feel like, man.
Yeah, especially as a guy. As a guy. Because we're very visual and we're kind of like, you know, animalistic.
And there's like an achievement part of it, like a weird fucked up like.
And your boys high five you all the time. You know what I mean? And like, that's like, you see all like the celebrities do it all the time. So you're like, oh, that must mean success. But bro, like since getting out of that lifestyle, like, you know, 2.5 years ago, my life's been so much more solid and so much more like fruitful in terms of like things of actual merit and value are the things I focus on now. And what I was doing before was just literally feeding dopamine to myself on a constant basis. And you know, when you do something that feels good for a quick second, it's never a good thing.
Yeah.
For the most part. Unless you last 3 seconds like I used to. No, but seriously, like it's one of those things where
Maybe after 2.5 years.
Yeah, after 2.5 years, bro. Bang. Sorry to my wife out there. But yeah, like
it's just strong breeze.
Yeah. But yeah, I think when you live for pleasure, you live a very unfulfilling life. That's what I learned.
And like you can look at that any different way, even just in terms of like your sheer like personal development, wanting to be the highest version of yourself. I don't think, and like it's so, because I went through that whole experience, man, of like being driven by like dopamine and, you know, those like you conquer a situation and like you get that like reward, but it's like you'll stay on that carousel forever and ever and ever.
Yep.
And it's like now I'm with Mel, it's been 2.5 years, as you know. Like I've grown so fucking much in the last 2.5 years because like you're like, it's like taking me back to like what I used to be as a kid. And I mean that like what you really valued, the most important things, love, family, friends. And then you get old and you start having these experiences through school, some positive, some negative, some make you feel great, some make you feel small and like you have an experience where you maybe face rejection and then like that spirals this thing in the back of your head and then for the next 10 years of your life, trying to, you know, prove everyone wrong and get this girl or do all that. And then you realize like that, like being motivated by like a chip on your shoulder or being motivated to appear cool or whatever for the lack of a better word.
Yep.
That is like a really dangerous cycle, particularly when you're good at it, particularly when you get it. Cause it's like, bro, I'm the man. Like 100%. I feel so good, but it's like, dude, I was getting like, well, I'm 30 now. I never visualized myself wanting to be, you know, the 40-year-old bachelor. Like I always, family and, you know, one partner that I love and adore was always the goal.
Yeah.
But for like so many years, from like 18 to like, how old is I when I met Mel? Like 27. Like I was getting further and further away from that, even though I said that's what I wanted. But like, when you're on that carousel, it's a tough cycle to break.
Do you know what's funny, right? There's always a pinpoint moment in your life where something happens, like a trauma, for example, and then your life goes on like a complete different path. And so for me, I actually only realized this recently. So my pinpoint time where I think I started going on a very bad path was actually when my parents got divorced. My dad left and lived in China when I was 4 years old. And so everything
crazy
I kind
of
did.
Crazy period of your life as well in terms of your development.
Yeah, bro. So everything I did basically from that point onwards was to prove to him that I was good enough. Because in my mind as a kid, I interpreted my dad leaving back to China as I'm not good enough for his love and him to stay in Australia to raise me. So then everything I did was to prove myself that I am good enough. And that was, you know, me trying to make it. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but largely it was that validation that I'd get from him and other people that proved like I actually am good enough. So things I did, like I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I love the game, don't get me wrong. And there was a massive passion involved in it, but there was a massive part of it that was just trying to prove to the world that I was good enough. Then sleeping around heaps. I'd always get the pat on the back from the boys and validation from girls and you name it, that made me feel like I was good enough. Even social media, bro. Even social media, wanting like I used to want to be famous all my life and I just didn't understand why. And I was like, okay, this is my ticket to that, for example. And so when I got it, I was like, okay, cool. Like I'm the man, you know, this and that. But I still was unfulfilled all the time. And you kind of have to go back in your life and find that trigger point where something happened to you to make all these other things as a domino happen after that. And so that was the one for me, I think. And then obviously got possessed and that made me change my ways for the better. So,
yeah. Dude, I feel like I know one of mine, but it's not, I don't even know if it's a real memory, but I remember, I feel like year three, like I remember liking a girl. I don't even remember who, genuinely, year three.
Biggest player.
bro, I was like a little skinny white boy, freckles, red hair. Like I wasn't
pulling. Liverpool,
I wasn't pulling in.
You would have stood out.
Yeah, I wasn't pulling in primary school, that's for sure. And I remember, and I didn't even approach her. Like, you know, you're just too scared to go up to a girl when you're a kid. Yeah. Like I remember from that moment on, like for whatever reason, probably didn't feel like I was cool enough, good looking enough as well, because they were like,
If, like, 10-foot lebos.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are other kids you that are more naturally getting attention from the girls. And I feel like that was, like, a really pivotal moment. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm going to become undeniable, where it's, like, to the point where I can do whatever I want. And that's, like, a big – that was a motivator. Big motivator for me, but it's not a healthy motivator.
Bro, women are the biggest motivators. Like, we can't help it.
I know, you can't help it. You can't help
it. Oh, it's so hard to get out of. Like, even me, like, obviously I've changed my ways, but, like, I'm always thinking, like, oh, you know – I do this, not that I'm trying to, like, sleep around anymore, that's completely done, that's my old life, but, like, even, like, you know, like, for me, like, a wife one day, like, I'm trying to, it's like in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, you know, I got to do this so I can provide for her, which is actually a good thing. It's flipped from, like, just me wanting validation from, like, heaps of girls to now me, like, I guess building something for the purpose of being able to provide for, like, my future wife, you know what I mean?
You know what's crazy as well for me, like, that I've gone through a lot of, like, as I said, a lot of mental changes and leveled up in a lot of ways as well. And it's, in a weird way, affected me as a business person. Not really, not affecting my work, but it's like, bro, my big motivator for wanting to be successful and build businesses and have money, like, the main core motivator was like I have I'm in the situation I want. I have the woman that I love. And it's like, now for me, it's like, I don't, when I think about what motivates me most, I'm not thinking about more money, bigger businesses, flying around the world, speaking on stages, all that stuff is part of what I want to do for work. But really the thing I care about most now, and, like, that excites me most about the future, is, like, building a family.
Bro, that's,
like,
the best thing ever.
Building a life together. And, like, we've done heaps of renos at the place, and, like, we're doing it. And, like, all these things, like, building a life with someone is the most rewarding experience ever. And 100%. Take that from someone that's made millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's the most rewarding as well. But it's, like, really difficult when you're, like, midway through this, like, adventure of life.
Yeah.
And, like, you just, well, I had that moment, like, serious relationship, gone through all this and realized, holy shit, I was so not ready for this.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny?
I grew from it, but it's like, without that moment, who knows how long. And, like, Mel being, like, sticking with it and, like teaching me so many things that I didn't even realize I needed to know.
Yeah.
Was like, bro, if that moment didn't happen, if you didn't have that moment of possession, which changed your fucking the future of the rest of your life, who knows where you end up, you know?
Do you know what's funny, right? So I have my own podcast now. It's called Locker Room Chat Podcast. And I just did an episode before I met you today about some of these issues. And so what we're saying, me and the boys were saying that it was an episode about, like, what every man sort of needs to not be a cuck. That's actually what the episode's called.
Not be a cuck.
And so we're talking about things like, you know, making sure that, you know, you have the ability or the confidence to say no, standing up for what you believe in, your morals, your values, and just essentially leveling up intrinsically. However, the last point we made was a life where you're just so self-entitled and focused, where all you're focused on is how you can benefit and how you can benefit, it's actually a very unfruitful way of living. Because as humans, there's actually a reason why we feel so good helping someone else. It's because if you live your entire life, you know, aiming for the Lambo, aiming for the house and aiming for the Gucci belt or shoes, whatever it is, and you get it there and you get that, but then you haven't actually helped anyone along the way, then you realize that, like, wait a second, like, all these, like, materialistic things that I thought I'd be happy with mean nothing because I actually haven't added value to the world. Because, you know, you could have a career where you're, like, the biggest entrepreneur, you're this and that, whatever it is, and you get all these things, but if you haven't helped anyone, you're going to be very, very unsatisfied. So as you said, it's funny because, because you've obviously succeeded massively in business, millions of dollars. But the one thing now that you're really, like, focused on and gives you joy is something where you're helping serve others. And I think that men don't understand this enough, that, like, men need responsibility. If you're a man, for example, me right now, I'm single, right? So I don't have responsibility of a family at this present moment, although I will in the future. But when I have been in a relationship before, I felt so much more driven to, you know, excel in my business, in my life, when I had a partner, because I was like, well, this isn't just about me anymore. Yeah. And then imagine having kids. It's like you have this whole family to take care of, where it's like you are forced to step out of your comfort zone, level up, and be the best man you can. Not for yourself, though, but for them. And that's a beautiful thing.
So what's the sort of qualities now as someone more mature, when you think about your future partner, what sort of qualities do you look for in a woman?
I don't know why you're asking this question. Nah, I think for me, man, it's changed so much, man. I think the first thing for me, like, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. So she'd have to be Christian. We'd have to have the same values, bro. That's a big thing. You know, you can't really be with someone that has different core values.
Core values.
So she has to be a Christian. I think also one thing that I do see in many women due to feminism is that a lot of women are almost like, convinced that they need to change their feminine nature. I don't want that, bro. I want a woman that's like, you know, that's feminine, that's soft, you know, gentle, you know. I'm not saying, you know, women can't get, you know, angry or have their bad days, but like someone that really like trusts me as a man to lead them in the right direction, and someone that really just wants to come along with me for us to both build something, you know, greater than ourselves. And I think as well, like, you know, someone that takes care of themselves is a massive thing for me, bro. Like, I think honestly this could be controversial, but in the Christian space, taking care of yourself, not just spiritually and mentally and emotionally, but also physically, is a massive thing that does not get talked enough, that does not get talked about enough in the Christian space. Because as guys, bro, let's be honest, we're visual creatures, right? I'm not gonna see the fruits of who you are unless I'm attracted to you physically. It's the first thing I see.
It's just the fact of reality.
And in the Christian space,
but it goes both ways, male to female.
Exactly.
Female to male.
And in the Christian space, this never gets spoken about. So I don't think there's enough emphasis put. I'm not saying I want some shallow woman that just has fake eyelashes. And that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that like the reason I actually want a woman that, you know, I find pretty and attractive is because I know that she'll take care of herself. And that's a massive thing to me. And I want to level up in all ways. And I want her to as well. I want her to be motivated. I want her to, you know, just be like that woman that I need her to be for us to create something. So that's kind of like in a nutshell what I look for.
What's as well is interesting, and I understand, like, I feel like the core, and again, I'm no expert on this, so, you know, if this gets me in trouble, whatever. I feel like the
I think this whole episode's going to get us in trouble.
The core, like, the original movement of, like, feminism, I think had, like, the right intentions for a lot of it, to, like, have all the equal rights and all that sort of stuff. But I feel like it has got to the point where, yeah, like male and female polarity, that we're different for a reason and we should be. But it's like having traditional values, which up until 10, 15 years ago was the norm. If you have that now, it's like you're
toxically bigot, masculine. Yeah.
You're this to that. But then you actually have conversations with the girls one-on-one. And most of them, in my experience, will tell you that, no, I, you know, still want a man that provide, not that they don't want to work or anything, but it's like, it's just human nature to, again, like you said, we seek safety.
So if
someone's a loser, a dropkick that doesn't care about themselves, doesn't care about the family, their money, or looking after themselves, it's not attractive in any way.
It's human nature, bro, you know what I'm saying? And I think women should be looking for men that actually have, you know, value and morals that they can feel comfortable with and safe in, you know what I mean? Because if you find a guy that just lives for pleasure, or if you find a guy that, you know, doesn't have the right values, and of course, you can't trust them. And women inherently look for safety in a man because they want to, you know, follow the man's leadership essentially. And I think when you get these women that, as you said, like they actually want the traditional life, there's a reason they do. It's because they're designed that way. But I think feminism or radical feminism really brainwashes them to the point where they think, oh, all men are just trying to suppress us, which I know happened in history in certain degrees. But, you know, at the end of the day, bro, like we can't help being men that want to lead a family in the right direction. We can't help being men that want to nurture our wife and kids and not, you know, force them to work. Like I would want my wife to just, if she wants to work, sure. But if she doesn't, then cool. Like I'm going to provide for you. You know what I'm saying? And I think as men, like traditional values in the nuclear family unit, something that's trying to be corrupted in this day and age.
Why is it being the nuclear family is being so like targeted, right?
Bro, it's because it's the foundation of human existence. That's why. And when you start getting people that are so confused about who they are, what are they prone to? Manipulation. They don't know what the hell is going on. Yeah.
It's all about control.
So like that's their target, bro. That's why they're trying to, I guess, teach these kids these things when they're so young that they shouldn't know about, because why would you be sexualizing kids anyway? It's retarded.
That's a whole other fucking thing. Like in what world can any sane person, right, believe that cross-dressing strippers should be doing shows
in front of kids,
in front of kids. And this is like, there's so many videos of like cross-dressing strippers doing like twerking and pulling off their pants and wearing males wearing G-strings in a childcare.
Preschool. It's disgusting, bro. Like, don't you want to be protecting the kids? Oh no, but we're just trying to show them, you know, you can be yourself. No, this is like proper, like, I didn't want to say that word, but it starts with a P. Like proper cooked, bro.
Stuff, man.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's proper cooked. Like you don't, bro, I don't even want to send my kids to school. I reckon I'll homeschool my kids straight out. I don't even want them to be, even Christian schools, I don't care. They're still doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel the most safe in Muslim countries, actually.
Yeah.
I was in Saudi Arabia
recently.
How was
that?
Bro, I was mad. I was in Saudi Arabia and I loved like just the normal
family. You genuinely
family.
Feel safe over
yeah,
there, right?
You do. I'm going back to Saudi in a month and, you know, it's just, bro, it was such a nice thing. Like, you know, obviously I'm not Muslim, I'm Christian, but it was just so beautiful seeing the Muslim, culture and the, you know, the respect that the family shows each other, bro. It was such a nice thing, man. Whereas like, you know, you walk down the street here, you get girls like with their tits out and just not caring, being reckless. But over there, it's like the husband respects the wife respects the husband in many ways, you know, like it's just, it was so refreshing to see. Like even just seeing a family at the dinner table, I was like, wow, like this is actually still a thing.
And the thing is, well, like taking it back to like, you know, people thinking all men are bad or whatever. It's like I live in Newtown.
I know, sir. I don't know why you live there.
I love the cultural hub of it. I love being, you know, cafes, restaurants, everything around, right?
Yeah.
But like some of the posters I see, bill posters I see, it's like they're all, you know, capitalism is like is the worst thing in the world. You know, money is evil. Like they're advertising like communist and Marxist marches and shit. It's like, come on, bro. Anyway, I know.
It's crazy.
Where was I going with that?
Political sensitivities are all time.
Right? I had a point I wanted to make. Anyway, it's gone. That's ADHD for me. I got ADHD since last time we spoke.
You got ADHD?
Yeah, yeah.
How do they measure that?
It's a bunch of tests on a computer.
Oh shit.
But bro, it served me so powerfully because I never got diagnosed anywhere through school because like I was a good kid, like probably someone with a higher IQ. I don't have like the hyperactive part, but like, you know, my brain, like two back memory, like I can't multitask. Like my brain can't remember two things at once. If I get sidetracked, it's completely gone. But if something I'm interested in, I can absolutely laser focus, right?
Mad.
So really that's cool. Been a big part. And Mel actually shared a study with me. We were talking about a study yesterday about this. And it's funny, you were just talking about pivotal moments in your childhood. Your parents separated when you were 4 years old. Yeah. My parents divorced and separated when I was in my mum's womb. Wow. So it's like my mum went through like such a stressful
birth
time while I'm in there. And it's like what the mother's going through, right? Of course that's going to affect the fetus and the baby. So
yes,
it's like
yes.
All that emotional stress and worrying and stuff my mum had to go through. And then it makes sense why like I was born, you know, like slightly different, you know what I mean? Because to go through that much stress at the time someone's pregnant, it's going to affect the baby. Thing. It's like, I said this is a joke, but it's true. Like it's a miracle I'm not more fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like
you just embrace it, bro, and you made some good coin off it in business.
100%. There was a point I was going to make about that last thing, but I forget. I do want to ask you about one other thing before we wrap up. And it's about like that new style of content you're doing, like the documentary style, investigating certain different things. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think when we first had you on the podcast a little bit over a year ago, you're talking about you've got a new direction coming, and that was very much at the start of that. What motivated this new direction? Because I love it.
Oh man, it was just like, you know, I was basically I've been doing social media for 10 years, and for like 8 of those years it was just pure comedy pranks when I was, you know, my old self, you could say, before I actually grew up and got possessed. And so it was really hard to kind of transition out of the comedy space for what I was known for. And so when I last saw you, it was kind of just post being possessed, actually. And I was sort of just trying to find my new, I guess, way of living. And so what I did was I was like, all right, like what values do I have and how can I obviously create content around it that's not too different from the old stuff to like sort of try bring the audience along with me on this new path, but something that I really feel like I'm giving value. And so I started to just like film random videos, if I'm honest. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I'm going to find something. Something's going to click. And it wasn't until I actually did a video where I went to Mount Druitt. And it was called I Survived 24 Hours in Sydney's Most Dangerous Area.
I remember watching that one and you're having like all really good conversations with the locals, yeah?
Yes. And so I posted that. And when I was doing it, I was like, there's actually some like depth and value in this. Like I'm not just obviously getting people's funny reactions, like just the cookers in Mount Druitt that you see every day. But I'm actually going into people's houses in housing commissions, seeing how they live. And like almost like, you know, doing a story on their lives and how they got there and what help they need. And so that got a really good response. And I was like, interesting. Okay, so maybe I should investigate more things in, you know, in general, like more topics. And so then I started to do stuff like with, you know, millionaires and get their advice on, like I did the complete polar opposite of dangerous. I went to most expensive areas.
Yeah, you do both, right?
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, interesting. Like people are liking this. And then I started doing stuff where like, you know, I investigated the cost of living crisis in Australia. Then I did one recently, which is called I investigated the migration crisis. Like, I just started investigating things that were of relevance. And I was like, wow, like, this is actually really interesting. And I can obviously provide my opinion and like, people are enjoying this and they're getting a lot of value from it. And so that's kind of where it started. And then now what we're doing is we're trying to scale that even bigger. Whereas instead of just like delving into the problem and investigating the problem, we're also trying to find the solution for it as well by some life-changing, you know, initiatives we've got in the works.
Because you're doing some stuff with the NDIS or something, right?
So yeah, I was doing some stuff with NDIS, yeah. So we did a bit of a project with them. I've got some government stuff even that have reached out. So
that's awesome.
It's a full, like, different, I guess, path I'm on now. But it took me a long time to find, man, a long time.
How would you define, like, your calling, your path, or your purpose now? Like, is it something that you're clear on, or is it something that's still being developed as you move through, like, these pivotal years post kind of that big change in your life?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear for me. I know that my purpose of being here is to basically bring people out of what they consider the best way of living, which is my old life, you know, the partying, the drugs, the hookup culture, and bring them to a more purposeful life, honestly. And I think that doesn't get spoken about enough, where, you know, we live in this world with social media and like celebrity culture where you just see these like fancy objects and shining lights and you think that's the ultimate way of living. But when you're actually caught up in that lifestyle, it can lead you to like a very dark path, which is what happened to me, which is actually how I got sort of possessed in the first place. And so my sort of purpose in life is to relate to those people that are in those situations living that way now and just showing them, like, not forcing them, just showing them, hey, I went through this. I had it all. Trust me. Like, you're going to be thankful that you lived a life of more value and depth, you know, of family, for example, than continually going down this path, which will bring you down a very bad rabbit hole where you will end up somewhere you never thought you'd end up. So that's sort of my purpose, bro. Obviously, there's, you know, a faith component in there as well. But it's more so just, yeah, man, just showing the light, I guess, out of the darkness.
Yeah, I feel like I used to pre that big event, I was one of the people. I think we all were sleepwalking and just thought, because nothing significantly on a global scale bad had happened for like 50 years or whatever, 60, yeah, 70 years. We all thought that nothing bad could happen in our lives and just everything would always be easy and sweet. The worst that could happen is like a recession or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's all that did happen. And now we realize this and, you know, on the verge of World War III and they're talking about nukes and the conflict in the Middle East and Russia, Ukraine, all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel, and you know, I have, this is the 100th episode of the podcast, which
we, thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah,
for the 100th.
I know, had to be a special guest, bro.
Thank you.
I've been fucking incapacitated. So I'm like, I've got to get in and get someone I love on for the 100th
appreciate
episode.
Appreciate it.
But I really feel like I ask a lot of people this question about purpose and stuff. Mm. And sometimes it gets asked back to me and I'll say, like, in terms of purpose, that word, I put a lot of value onto it, right? Mm. And I'll be honest with people and I'll say, like, someone asks me, what's your purpose? And they'll think, you know, I've been successful, I've made money, I have a podcast, you know, I mentor people studying e-com brands. Clearly one of those is your purpose, right? I still think, because I've got a strong feeling about, you know, why I'm here, why I'm on this planet right now, and like making money isn't that, or, you know, achieving success, none of that's my purpose. I think right now I know, and I've felt this for a long time, I'm here to be a part of something important, something special. If we look at my natural skill set in terms of communication and negotiation and advocating for things I love, and I don't fuck around, I don't take shit from no one. If I believe in something, I will stand up for that. Mm-hmm. I think my purpose right now is to become the best version of myself, create, in terms of like why I'm doing all this business stuff as well, in terms of my purpose, like I think I need to create freedom, create money so I can provide for me, my family, and stay safe. But I really think that the world is on a, and I hope I'm wrong, the world is on a dark path at the moment. And I think, like, if, okay, we say that was a test run, what's going to come next? I feel like whatever does come next, I'm just not going to sit by and watch.
Yeah.
I'll be doing anything in my power to speak up against that stuff.
That's really good.
I think specifically what that is, I'll find out at the moment that I'm ready. But I think just becoming the best version of myself and growing as much as I can and facing as many things as I need to face is part of it. You know what I mean?
That's which amazing, is like, bro. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, at least you kind of like have an idea of what that is.
And yeah. Anyway,
being bold is a really important thing. I think you get the most respect from people when you're actually just like straighty 180. Like you're just like, nah, like I don't stand for this, full stop. You're just saying no to things, you know. There's too much wishy-washy behavior in this day and age. And that's what I'm trying to, get away from as well. Like, I'm just trying to say how it is now.
Like, that's have why, a clear point of view. And
yeah.
But it is dangerous to have a point of view sometimes.
It is. But that's why I've got my podcast as an outlet, because it's like a space where, like, I can go pretty hard.
It's
which
long
we do.
Form as well. And it's you can really form. Articulate your thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll get clipped, obviously, but it is what it is, bro. And it's like, why would you want to live a life of, you know, no meaning and no purpose and just holding back because you're scared of things that might happen to you? Where you could just go all out and see what happens.
Have you had any pushback or anything from any of the videos you've done, like any of the investigations or anything?
yeah, I have. But I'm sort of used to it, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Some of the stuff I used to do, bro, back in the day, like, I used to cop it hard. But, yeah. Like, I'm just kind of used to it, so I don't really care.
Yeah. So what's next for you, bro? Like, you've got a lot, I'm sure, like,
yeah.
In the back burner. Like, what do you see the next, like, chapter of your life involving?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So first off, like, obviously trying to enhance these documentaries by, you know, including, like, I'm trying to get, I'm building my audience to become more of a community where they help me help change people's lives instead of just me investigating something and then doing it myself. I want them to have input now.
For sure.
Second thing is I've got my podcast, obviously, Locker Room Chat Podcast, which, yeah, it's been going well. Done 13 episodes so far, and that's with two of my other mates. So that's another project. The third thing I'm working on slowly is I'm going to start teaching people on organic virality and how I built my social media platforms and what I did and how they can, you know, do the same as well. And yeah, bro, just kind of continuing on those main three things and see where it takes me.
So for those documentaries, like, it's usually about 15, 20 minutes at the moment?
Yeah, about 10 to 15.
10
yeah.
to 15 minutes. How long does it take to put together a 15-minute documentary? Like, how much research is and planning is involved at
yeah,
the start?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's not like, just it's like...
So, dude, the hardest part is, like, trying to organize people to be in the videos. The majority of the time we go on the street and we just get lucky. But if we want that kind of, like, heavy-hitting story that someone, you know, relates to the subject matter, we have to travel sometimes. But that takes so long, just trying to organize people and just, like, make sure they're free and they cancel and, you know, go into different cities and stuff. It's really difficult. It's much harder than prank videos, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you have like 10 ideas on the back burner that you know you'll do in
yeah,
the future?
Yeah, I got so many.
Yeah. And yeah, yeah. Is it just you and Nick? Do you have a team that helps you like produce all this stuff? How are you guys actually managing? Because that's
yeah.
I'd love to do videos like that, but like, I talked to Dewey and Joe and they're like, bro, you don't understand how much work it will be to do that. So that's why I haven't done anything on YouTube yet.
Dude, it's so difficult. Like, yeah, we're trying to expand right now. So it is me and Nick primarily, but then we have people overseas that help us with certain edits.
Yeah, you got
subtitling,
it, right?
Content creation, even script writing, just a bunch of stuff. So like it's a pretty, you know, it's less than 10 people, but it's a team.
With that, like you mentioned, teaching people how to do it, is this, I had a brief chat with Nick about it. Is that like the like agency service or thing that you guys are working on? Is that it to help people?
Yeah. So I can't reveal too much, okay, but we're going to basically like, offer a service where we can, you know, help people, I guess, with the skills that I've learned from doing this for 10 years and building a following. That can sort of be for, many different people. But
and even like your thumbnails, they're like top-notch quality.
Yeah.
Is there a lot, like people may see that, but like I'm sure there's a lot of trial and error and iteration before you get to.
Yeah, I'm lucky, right? I have a really good team actually that do them. Yeah. And
they nail it, bro. Really well.
We don't have to do many revisions with them, so they're really good.
Yeah, sick.
They're sick, yeah, really good.
Anyway, bro, yeah, where's the best place for people to find you, the locker room, everything? Where's the best place they can find all your content?
Yeah. So just Jamie Zhu on all platforms with a ZHU. Locker Room Chat Podcast is my podcast, and those are the main things.
I love it, brother. Thanks for coming in. Episode 100 in the bag, baby. We did it. Thanks so much,
bro. No worries, man. Anytime.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or you got something out of it, do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do your friends a favor and share this with them, and they can come along on this journey with us. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.